Today is another signature day at the White House. President Obama likely to sign the two-year budget deal that OMB Director Sean Donovan negotiated with leaders from the House and Senate. That does not mean, though, that agencies are out of the woods yet. David Hawkins is senior editor at CQ Roll Call and watching what is going on as the budget deal winds through. So the two-year budget deal means that we've got top-line numbers like we did with the bipartisan budget agreement, if I understand the reporting of you and your colleagues correctly, David. But that doesn't necessarily mean I should put the dun-dun-dun music away yet, right?
Absolutely right. Especially, I think if you're a member of the general public, they are expecting to never hear that dun-dun-dun music again. They feel like, you know, they can sort of dry their hands off and walk out. But if you're, if you actually work for any of the 1,000 different programs or agencies, you know, now the hard part. Now is when they got to decide how to apportion that extra money, and on with what strings the Republicans want to attach. And there's, as everybody knows, there's not all that much time left. December 11th is only what, 5 weeks around the corner, and it's a lot. There's a lot of work to do. As you and I have talked in the past, the Appropriations Committees on the House and the Senate side have done a lot of the sort of preliminary work, and they've made a lot of sort of the low-hanging fruit decisions. But there's still some tough negotiating to do about about winners and losers at sort of the high-profile level. And more important than any of that is how hard the new Speaker Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell will push to add sort of conservative policy riders to these bills as a condition for the extra spending. Harry Reid told my colleague Neil Lesniewski in an interview last week that the Democrats are going to have a pretty solid line wall of defense. Pelosi, Reid, and the president, probably in the personification of Sean Donovan again, resisting, larding up this big omnibus bill with policy riders that the Democrats can't stomach.
Yeah, Senator Reid is not going quietly into retirement. He told Niels, the President, Pelosi, Reid, my entire caucus has agreed to hold hands. We're not going to approve anything that has all of these ideological, short-sighted, crazy ideas to do away with women's health. Now, I don't think that's really the intent, but I get where he's going politically. To do away with clean air. Because,
right.
Of course, the other side is in favor of Beijing-type dirty air, and to attack Dodd-Frank and all of these. And the Dodd-Frank part he's accurate on, because that's been something that Republicans have wanted to dig into ever since they came back into the majority. But it's very obvious that there is still some fighting to be done here, if only rhetorically, David.
Yeah, no, that rhetorically, absolutely. And then I think we Paul Ryan in particular has a very tough line to walk, right? He just got elected speaker. He sort of has something of a mandate. He got a lot more votes for speaker than John Boehner did in January. Only whatever it was, 9 of his own Republicans voted against him. But they, and I've been saying this till I'm a broken record, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. Their patience, they voted to elect him.
Yeah.
They did not vote to be with him really ever again. In other words, this is his mandate was to get elected, and after that, it's kind of he goes right into the teeth of the conservatives who still have plenty of fight and believe that he is going to really fight hard for these social policy things and these regulatory Planned Parenthood, the regulatory on the environment, clean air, coal plant emissions, that's what that's all about.
Yeah.
Women's health, we know, is Planned Parenthood. Dodd-Frank is Dodd-Frank and easing the regulatory burdens of that. Those are sort of the three biggies. They're by no means the only three. There are plenty of others. There are, for those listeners who live in the District of Columbia, the Republicans are once again interested in using the D.C. budget as something of a petri dish for their social policy experiments. Those are the three biggies, Planned Parenthood, EPA regs and banking regs, but under that there's plenty of others, and Ryan is going to be under considerable pressure to bring home some scores for the conservative side.
David Hawkins is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. I was at the executive leadership conference in Williamsburg last week, which is why I missed talking to you. And while I was down there, one of my political nerd friends suggested that the best analogy he could think of for the Paul Ryan situation was when somebody comes to the United States from another country and marries somebody they meet really quickly so they can become a citizen. And the second that the marriage doesn't work out, it's they get divorced or annulled or whatever, and they just kind of go off and do their own things. And I couldn't think of a reason why that unfortunate analogy wasn't really the case.
Boy, that is. That is an interesting analogy. It's going to take me a while to process that one, but yeah. I think that unlike a marriage, which is in theory never ending,
yes,
these guys have agreed to marry Paul Ryan for, I don't want to say at most 15 months,
yeah.
But essentially after 15 months, there's going to be sort of the annual review to end all annual reviews.
Wow.
And... you know, if the Republicans lose seats, if the Republicans lose the White House, if the Republican conservatives somehow feel as though they've been wronged in the next 14 months, and there are a myriad reasons why they could feel, it's actually now less than that. Now that we're talking, it's Election Day is next November 8th.
Yep.
By custom, all the people who get elected to the House come back 1 week after the election to pick their leaders for the new year. So we're essentially talking about a year and a week that he's got.
Your colleague, Emma Dumaine, has a terrific conversation with the ranking member of the Appropriations Committee, Nita Lowey, that when I first read it, I thought, well, this is very nice, and this is a sense of maybe the tide turning in partisanship in Congress. And then the cynic in me took hold, and I thought, maybe she's damning him with faint praise. This is Nita Lowey. He calls me Mom, referring to Paul Ryan, and I call him Sonny Boy. I just wished him luck. I look forward to working with him. He's extremely bright. He's very caring. I do hope we can have good bipartisan work with his leadership. Which side of me, the positive side or the cynical side, is more likely to be proven correct, David?
You know, I don't think she's... I think she really does want him to succeed, but I also think you're right that... that every time a Democrat says, and I mean, you know, Boehner used to say the same thing, that he didn't, don't, that was why he always said he wanted to stay out of, you know, I better not endorse this, because if I endorse this, the Democrats,
yes,
you know, so same thing with Paul Ryan, is he does not want to get too cozy with the Democrats, because every time he does that, that just gets the hair on the back of the necks of the Freedom Caucus folks very stiffened. Mrs. Lowey is a, she's been a good source of mine over the years, and I think that she's a booby. She is your grandmother. She does want these guys to succeed. I mean, she's an appropriator. She wants to get stuff done. The culture of the Appropriations Committee is at the end of the day, let's take as big a loaf as we can get and move on to the next year. And that's what she wants. And I think that she's really hoping that Ryan can help her get that done.
The goal for those folks is really to just get the money out the door, isn't it, David?
To get the money out the door, to do it in a timely way, to do it with a minimum of fuss. It's no longer, I mean, that's basically the most they can aspire to now that in the world where there are no more earmarks. Being on the Appropriations Committee is really sort of like the station engineer and keeping the trains running on time, because they don't get to put any, you know, pick your metaphor, any butter or pork on the train as it goes down the track.
All right. Overall, then, I'll try to tamp down my cynical side, but I'm still going to keep this handy.
Absolutely.
Well, hang on to that in case we need it in the next couple of weeks. Thank
Let's
you as
it.
Always, my friend.
Thanks, Francis.